So good to see all of you this morning. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I just ask that you would give special blessings to each person. I pray you speak through this message. I pray you encourage and embolden and just bless, and may people walk away from here today knowing that they've met with you, that they've heard what you've had to speak to them through the message. And I pray, Father, that their hearts will be strengthened in faith and that it will glorify and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can do it, turn your heads and look at the back wall of the sanctuary. What's the sign up there say? Launch out into the deep. That's Luke 5:4. And we used that, that was put up years ago. That's a picture that when we did Vacation Bible School and covered the windows like that, and that was so much fun. But that's why I don't want to swim too far into the deep, deep water. But I'm willing to go into the deep water that God has me go into. And I say that like, you know, okay, Lord, sometimes it's scary, but I'm going to trust you. If I know God is calling, I'm going to trust you. So Luke 5:4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So about 15 or 20 years ago, many of you remember that you thought I would never stop teaching out of that text, out of Luke 5. Like, when is this going to end? And we talked about it because we were looking at applying the principles of going out into the deep as being opportunities for us to minister in new ways, okay, in unfamiliar areas. So if you never had been out in the deep water, that's what the new areas of ministry look like. They were like, well, you know what? If it's familiar areas of ministry, I know what to expect. I know what to do. I feel comfortable with that. But if you lead me to go into areas of ministry that are beyond what I've experienced before, I don't know what to do necessarily. I'm not familiar with it. And it becomes a little bit scary. So in that time of the messages of out of Luke chapter 5, it was setting it up for an opportunity for us to focus as a church body on doing the ministries that God's called us to do that was new and that was different. So we ended up doing the Zarephath project, which is like the widow, you know, of Zarephath. And she had faith, and God multiplied her grain and her oil. But we ended up walking around the apartments behind Save Mart and praying for 2 weeks. And all of us would go at different times and just pray for the people in the apartments. And then at the appointed time, we set a time that we would go to the apartments and that we would knock on the doors. Knock on the door. That was scary, wasn't it, Amber? Why? Because I remember. And I'm not going to share the details of that. But I remember. It was scary. But it was a blessing, was it not? It was a blessing. But it was a challenge. It was a challenge. And in that, we had one couple get saved and come to church. That was Jennifer and Armando. And they started coming to church. But even at the end of that Zarephath project that we did over the weeks that we did it, we preached in Spanish. I think I preached in English. We had artwork. We had food. We had free clothing. So we had like a little block party. And all that was planting the seed of the gospel. Now, none of that was familiar. It was a whole new way of doing ministry. So there's an excitement about that. But at the same time, there's a fear about that. And it's kind of like I'm used to walking in the water at the beach up to my waist, but don't ask me to put my head on the water and swim out another 100 yards, right? So that's the thing that we're talking about. That's what I was focused on when I taught on this text 15 or 20 years ago, all right? I want to look at something differently. I want to apply it differently. And I want to reemphasize something that when we were focused on reaching out to unfamiliar waters of ministry, it created a sense of insecurity. It was like a spiritual oxymoron. We had a spiritual insecurity, but we also had an excitement about what was going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm anxious a little bit about this because it's unfamiliar, but I'm excited about what God is doing through it or may do through that. So there was that kind of spiritual oxymoron because of the things we experienced and the insecurity of new ministries. And we had great excitement and anticipation. So in my estimation, the excitement, the anticipation was more significant than the awareness of doing new ministry. Follow me? It's not just about doing the ministry, but the excitement and the anticipation put a focus together to do God's work. And that was a blessing, a true blessing. So I want to make that different approach to this text today, all right? And this particular approach in this text, I think, is even more significant than establishing the ministry or the excitement. But it's a different approach, so hang in there with me. In Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11, it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets, which he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, but they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink." That's a lot of fish. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Jesus. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." When they forsook all and followed him, would you equate that with a spiritual diving into the deep? Yeah, they're not up to their ankles, not up to their waist, but headlong straight into the deep, into the unknown for God. The lack of security of familiarity, but the excitement of what God was going to do and the anticipation. So many believers in Christ live in the shallow waters of faith. That's unfortunate because they don't experience the life with Christ that God intends for them to have. If we are comfortable only in walking in the shoreline of faith, then we're never going to experience the deep and wonderful things God wants to bless us with. And so the question here is, are you willing to cast your net of faith into the deep waters of God and his power? The more we're willing to follow God into the deeper waters, we're going to experience God and his power in our lives more than what we ever thought possible. He's not just going to magnify our own gifts or abilities, natural or otherwise, he's going to increase them and show us things that we did not even expect. So as long as you remain in the safe, familiar, shallow waters of faith, you will not experience the deep blessings and miracles of God in your life. It's called growing in Christ. It's called progressing forward. It's called I am continuing to follow Christ and doing what God has me to do. And in doing so, God continues to lead us into deeper waters. Kind of like to think about it as the scuba divers that go really deep and they find things and see things that you and I don't. Many Christians can read their Bibles and not discover deep truths because they're not willing to dive deeper in his word through study. Can we agree with that? You have to study God's word to appreciate the depth of God's word, right? Many pray shallow prayers because deeper prayers require personal reflection, revealing the true self. We don't want to see the true self. And so it's easier to pray the shallow prayers. A deeper prayer life reveals the deep love God has for you, whom many don't experience because of shallow prayers. Then when you pour your heart out to God, and God reveals himself to you and pours himself out on you and to you, there's a wonderful, wonderful blessing in that, okay? Many are afraid of what they may discover about themselves and God's loving plan for their lives. Are you there? Are you afraid of what God has for you? Has that been part of your place in your walk with Christ? I'm afraid to go beyond the waste, Lord. I'm afraid to go into the deep because I don't know what you've got planned for me. Let me tell you, those plans are blessings beyond your comprehension, and blessings are fun. But they take commitment to dive into the deep, right? It's through prayer that we enter into the depths of God's love, the depth of faith, the depth of his presence, the depth of his word, the depth of his joy, the depth of his spirit, and the greatest of all, the depth of his heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? And we have to make the decision if we want to dive into the depth of God. And in all these areas. Look at Luke 5, 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Now, I want us to think about the fish here for a moment. A little different twist on it. The fish of this text and the context we were applying to it represent the blessings of God, and the multitude of fish represent the vast diversity of blessings, which is the miracle of God's overflowing in our lives. You see, when we talked about this before, we're talking about the fish being fish caught, fishers of men, and that it is. But from this perspective, looking at the spiritual walk with God and the depth that we are willing to dive into God will only cause us to overflow in blessings that we never thought possible. So we don't want to miss the blessings that God has for us, because God not only wants to bless us, but he wants to use us for him and his glory. Paul reminds us about what waits for us in the deeper relationship with God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That is diving into the deep. Yet you and I have no idea what God has in store for us. I may be old, but my life's not over. And whatever chapters lay ahead, I don't know what God has in store, but they're there. He knows. But God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That personal reflection and exposure to God and that communication with God that's rich will be revealed. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I've asked this question before in times past. I have my inner spirit that I know my thoughts and who I am. How would you like it if I knew your thoughts and who you were in your inner spirit? Stop, right? But God has given us his spirit because he's indwelt us, so we can know him as deeply as we desire. So the more we dive into him, he's open all the way. I am God. I am holy, righteous, and I am here for you. As you dive into me, I'll reveal myself to you as much as you want me to. But we have to make the choice, right? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise God, but the Spirit who is from God. You and I have the Holy Spirit in us. God said when we received him as our Savior, he gave us his Spirit so we can know him. If we walk ankle deep in our faith, in our walk with God, then we're only knowing, basically, I know I'm saved and you're in my heart. If I'm willing to walk halfway into the water, we're going to experience God more, but we're not going to experience the deep riches that God really wants to pour out on us. And so that's that decision, again, that we have. Our blessings of God on our lives and a deeper relationship with God, his sole purpose for us. I mean, is that the end of the game? You know what I'm saying? Is the whole purpose of diving in deeper and knowing God better just for our benefit and our blessing? No. I'm seeing heads shake. No, praise God. It's because God, we're part of the body of Christ, and God wants to use us for his kingdom work. We're a community of believers, the household of faith, called to his work. There is something deeper in his plan. Look at Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. God has provided everything we need pertaining both to life and godliness. And what does God want us to be? He wants us to be that light and salt, that instrument that he can use to reveal Jesus to others. And so the overflow of what he's provided for us, that table, if you will, that spiritual food, is bountiful. And he's provided it for us for everything that is good and godly. He's given us that bounty of blessings because of our faith in and through him. And again, for what purpose? Beyond ourselves. For what purpose beyond ourselves? The catch the disciples received for casting their net in the faith, having trusted Jesus at his word, provided food and income for themselves, and bore witness of Jesus' power to others. Remember, the crowd came. Jesus didn't want to get thronged against from the crowd. So he got in the boat and they rowed him out from the shore so he could preach to the people. They're watching. And they hear what the conversation between Jesus and Simon, and they see them go out in faith into the deeper water. It was an unknown fishing hole, if you will, to them. And they went out to that area. They did what Jesus said. They dropped the nets, and they had so much that it overfilled their boat and another boat. And the people on the shore are watching. They're going, wow. But they were willing to do what Jesus said and go out into the deep, the unknown, the unfamiliar, to see what God was going to reveal. Is that the type of life you and I want? I know it's mine. I hope it's yours. I believe it's yours too. To know God in that depth and to see him work in his power, work in our lives that way. As their nets overflowed, our relationship with Jesus should overflow to others. The blessing we receive are not simply for ourselves to enjoy, but for others to be blessed and impacted by. It's not obviously the preacher's sole job. We are the body of Christ. It's all of our job to be as close to Jesus as we can and to let God develop us and shape us and make us into the people he wants us to be, that in the character of Christ, in him, that he will work and that work will overflow. Our lives will overflow and touch other lives for Christ. And God is glorified. That's what he wants. Now, we're going to wrap up this message with a little bit of a twist, a little bit of an application to this text in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. God the Father gave the authority to Jesus on earth to give to us the authority to go out. It didn't say, in the beginning here, it doesn't say, hey, you preachers, listen to this, this is for you. He's saying, hey, believers, listen to this, this is for you. And so we are to be engaged in sharing the gospel. We never know when God's going to open. I'm going to give you it's already 2 minutes after. Oh, good. It's very short on my last page. But the other day, we had a neighbor come that had moved from our community years ago. It was a family, a husband and wife with four kids, and they were just, they had it rough. I mean, they were not just dirt poor, but there was some dysfunction in their family. And I was cleaning up a mess in the parking lot, and this car comes in and pulls into the back parking lot, and I see the driver go, hey, how you doing? And he had two of his daughters and one of his daughter's boyfriend, in the car, and he got out and he said, "Hi, how you doing?" I said, "All right." And he said, "Hey, are you going to church?" "I'm going to church now, twice a week, every week. My youngest daughter just yielded to her to being baptized all on her own accord, and God is just blessing and they're praising God." And so I talked to the one daughter, and the one daughter said that she's in 2 weeks is graduating as a dental assistant, and then the other daughter is seriously thinking about going into law. So then I looked at the boyfriend in the back seat, and I said, "Hey, have you ever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" Boom. It wasn't meant to be offensive, but we're all talking about Jesus and going to church and loving the Lord and seeing what God has done in their lives. So I said, "Have you?" And he said, "No." So I shared the gospel with him, and I told him, "Look, you know and I know that we don't have necessarily tomorrow. We see a lot of shootings, a lot of heartache, a lot of death at any age. So please, will you consider the gospel message?" And he nodded. The opportunity was there. But you know, I was with my family, like Carolyn, all the kids, Kathy and I, at In-N-Out yesterday. And they have these weird table setups. I told you, it's only 2 minutes. So they have this weird table setup where they have a whole row of four seating tables, but up against the wall, they have a two-seater table. So you're sitting at the four-seat table, and right next to you is just that two-seater. So you don't have any privacy to talk. And this one guy is sitting at that two-seater right next to me, and Olin was in front of me, and I kept thinking to myself, I know he hears our conversation. He's got to. Maybe not trying to, but he's got to hear tidbits. And I'm thinking, how could I, at least, even if he's just listening, help him to hear the gospel? And I sat there and I stewed on that for a while. And I go, I don't know how to do this right now. And I didn't. I got home and I asked the Lord to forgive me for not being bold enough, for not taking the opportunity. I mean, I don't want to turn around and look at the guy. Have you received Christ as your Savior? Boom. And sometimes you got to be a wise fisherman, right? But if there was a way that I could have just looked at Olin and said, you know, "Not look, go with me on this, about talking about the gospel, to plant the seed. At least do that." See, just to be the fisherman, but sometimes it's scary to be bold. It's scary to strategize. It's scary to be exposed for our faith. But God wants us to. He wants us to be the people that God wants us to be in Him. And He's given us the authority. You know what does that mean? Jesus has given us the authority. It means that we have the full right up from God to speak on His behalf by His power, not our own. We have to tap into His power, and that's just relying on Him. I should have said, sitting there, instead of, "I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to switch this conversation, I'm not sure the guy really is liking my conversation," because maybe my conversation at the time wasn't very appropriate. Not that it was bad, but I'm just saying a little bit personal. And I should have said, "Lord, please show me how to do something to reveal You to that guy." And I wish I had. We learn. So like the disciples, God has given us authority to represent Him too. So we can't put it on the preacher, obviously. And we can't say, "Well, those are the apostles." God has given us power and authority and commanded us to do the work as a family in Christ. We can fulfill the Great Commission with confidence and authority in Him, impacting the lives of others with the truth of Jesus, by casting our net of faith into deep waters. Right? Are we willing to cast our net into deep waters? So many Christians don't experience that. And you know what? Part of that's the fault of the church. That's why I'm working with the men, saying we try to focus on replicating, or so we can disciple. You know, replicating is helping other men to take on the character of Christ. And so we're praying about that. And that's what we are to do, but it's stepping into waters that are a little scary because you don't know how it's going to turn out. So seek the Lord, seek his authority, respond to him when he's prompting, be bold and courageous in him, not in yourself. And when you do dive into the deep to share with others your faith or the gospel message, you will see not just a blessing, but you'll see that God is using it to impact others for him. Right? Amen? So let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. Help us, Father, to be willing to dive in the deep in every area of our life. In your word, in prayer, in service, and just to be able to be the people you've called us to be. That we might experience you in ways that we've never thought possible. And that you will use us in ways we never thought possible. And that we'll rejoice in you. That we'll be excited about the depth of Jesus in our life. And the depth of the purpose and plan that's designed uniquely for each one of us. And I ask, Father, that you will bless that. Make that a reality in our lives. Help us to replicate and to duplicate others as well, Father, within the church body. Many come to church, but often the church has just missed the mark and coming alongside and discipling them so they can stand strong and become replicated in the character of Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you help us to have that shift of focus in our own life and that you'll use us for that kingdom work you've called us into, and that our lives will not only be blessed and overflowing like the boat was, but that our lives will overflow onto the lives of others that you bring around us. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God's people said,
amen.
Amen.